Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Bowler, and welcome to the Link Local Network Report Show. Link locally, connect globally. Hey, we're broadcasting today from Chicagoland Signs in Addison, Illinois, helping your signs say more about your business. Pam Lohman and Michelle Finn will take great care of you here at Chicagoland Signs. And my co-host, Michelle Rempel, from the CEO of Mediavine Marketing, is with us also. Michelle, how goes it today?
Oh, it's going really well, Mike. I am, you know, I'm always talking about where I'm heading to next, right?
Okay.
And so, yeah, and so I'm really looking forward to heading to Phoenix next week. I understand that they have, 70-degree weather over there, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to meeting my new niece. So it's going to be a very happy week next week. So I'll be leaving all you guys back there in Chicagoland.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, on behalf of all the members and listeners, I'm sure everybody wants to wish you congratulations on being an aunt, or what are they going to call you, an Annie?
Auntie, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a great thing.
Well, you know, Michelle, we had an excellent, really was excellent. We had a great turnout at Caffeinated Connections Schaumburg Bank and Trust this past Tuesday on February 7th. The room was packed. We had a great featured author, Stanley Stevens, author of Vertigo. And we want to give a shout-out and thanks to Suzanne Resmer-Sohia, Schaumburg Bank and Trust. And Fred McMurray and myself also had a great time shooting a video this last Friday with the Make It Happen director of JJR Marketing, Jackie Camacho Ruiz. The video is now up on our YouTube channel, and you can find the link to the YouTube station on the linklocalnetwork.com website.
Thanks, Mike. I saw that video, and, you know, Jackie is just a force of nature. She's a force to be reckoned with. And so, you know, I would encourage everybody to go check out that video and find out more about what Jackie does. She just makes great things happen for her clients. She just gets the word out about them, and it's amazing what she does. So check that video out. And, Mike, we have an amazing guest today. So tell us about our guest.
Right. I'm looking forward to speaking some more with you. But our guest today is Chuck Krugel. Chuck is a management side labor and employment law, as well as human resources counseling attorney. He founded his firm, Charles A. Krugel, in 2000, which is going to be his, 12th birthday or anniversary coming up in June. That's pretty impressive, actually. And Chuck is frequently interviewed on TV, radio, as well as featured in print publications. He's also been in-house labor and employee relations and law with the Chicago Public Schools, no small achievement, the YMCA of Metropolitan Chicago, and the Airline Pilots Association. He also serves on several different boards, or a lot of boards, for that matter. He's the vice chair of the board of directors in the Greater O'Hare Association, as well as the chair of the governmental affairs team. He's also chair of the board of directors for the YMCA Alliance, which is a Chicago-based job development and welfare to work job training agency affiliated with the YMCA's Metropolitan Chicago. Chuck's also a member of the board of directors of ChildServe, a nonprofit which was founded in 1894. Is that correct?
Yeah.
1894? Wow. And it is a Chicago-based child advocacy group, home and adoption agency. In addition, he's also the co-chair of the Human Resources Committee. That's a lot of chairs, Chuck. Welcome to the Link Local Network Reports. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, pretty busy.
Wow. Also says you're a labor and employment attorney. What? Explain that a little bit.
Well, on the labor side, labor law is basically union relations, dealing with stuff like the National Labor Relations Board or the state equivalent type boards. And the employment side is usually wage and hour type issues, harassment, discrimination, anything involving civil rights type of stuff.
Okay, so this says you're a management side labor and employment lawyer.
Yeah.
So how does that, I mean, take either side?
I represent companies mostly, although one of my newest clients is a labor union, so.
Really?
Yeah, we're.
So they decided to quit fighting a battle against you, huh?
No, we're actually going to go to battle against another labor union to try to move members from one union to another.
Wow. Has that business changed a lot in the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's constantly changing now. I mean, you just saw some changes over the last week and a half with Indiana, the state of Indiana, and the right-to-work statute. So.
Right. For those of folks out there that don't realize what that is or what it means, what does it mean?
Sure. There's only about maybe 22, 23 right-to-work states in the U.S., and that basically means that these are states where unions are allowed to organize, but employees don't have to join. There's no compulsion to actually join a union, so they can't be forced to join or pay dues. Whereas, like in a state like Illinois, if it's a unionized workplace, you have to join a union, or at least you have to pay some sort of dues to that union.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, tell us about how you became a management side labor and employment lawyer. How did that, you know, how did you decide to go into that type of law?
Sure. I was never actually interested in being an attorney per se. I was getting my master's degree in industrial organizational psychology, which is labor, industrial relations, human resources. Midway through the program, it was a two-year program. Midway through it, I decided the field was a little too soft. Consulting or organizational behavior was too touchy-feely for me. And I decided the harder edge sort of stuff would be to go into labor and employment law. So after I got my master's degree, I went to law school.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
You know, and I'm not too familiar with what a human resources counseling attorney does. Can you enlighten us about that?
Yeah, I actually put that in there because it's basically the same as labor and employment law. So a lot of people see labor and employment law as a subset of human resources. You have human resources, which is basically the management of people as a capital asset within a business. And as a subset of that, you have labor and employment law, which is the legal end of human resources.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things we noticed was that you're pretty active on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
How has LinkedIn helped your practice? And I know you've got a group, so if you want to talk more about that as well.
Sure. 3 years ago this month, actually, I started my own LinkedIn group, Charles Krugel's Labor and Employment Law and Human Resources Practices Group. I think it's the longest title on LinkedIn.
You can't search for that thing.
Yeah. But I decided to name it after myself because it's partly promoting my, or at least a soft sell for myself.
Sure.
There's 1,313 members now from all over the world. You have people from much larger law firms who are members. You have people from large corporations. All South America, Japan, Australia, Israel, Iraq, and Iran, Middle Eastern countries. So it's been pretty. It's been very worthwhile and really interesting. We have a lot of substantive discussions regarding labor and employment law and human resources. There's even some employee advocates, a number of employee side attorneys too, who are members.
So let me ask you, why did you decide to get involved with social media, or you know, why did you decide to start a group?
Well, so, to me, social media is kind of a no-brainer. I mean, for the most part, it's pretty easy for them in terms of the amount of labor that goes into it. It reaches everybody. Everybody's using it. It's all over the place. So it just seemed a no-brainer to me. And prior to actually starting my group, I was kind of floundering on LinkedIn, you know, just basically collecting names, people in my network. And then somebody actually suggested it to me. And just kind of off the cuff, I started it, and it took off. It kind of has a life of its own now.
Yeah, really. So do you use any other social media sites outside of LinkedIn?
Not really. My website's a blog, and that kind of interfaces with a lot of social media sites. But because I had some problems with Facebook, technical issues, I decided to cancel my account. Twitter, I haven't been able to figure out how to use that in 140 characters or less yet appropriately. So maybe someday I'll figure that one out.
What has been the legal industry's relationship with social media so far, as you've observed, you know, from your point of view?
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting question because the law is all over the place relative to social media. In my opinion, social media is really just another form of communication, whether it's phone, writing, whatever, really doesn't matter. And to me, the law is pretty much the same. But if you look at agencies such as the National Labor Relations Board or the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and those are agencies that are within the realm of human resources, labor and employment law, none of these agencies, a lot of people don't really know what to make of social media. They kind of think it's like the Wild West or something like that. So I've been interviewed by a number of media outlets regarding social media, and I've done a number of presentations on labor and employment law and human resources and social media. And it kind of baffles me to an extent why people get so confused or they're so mystified by it. But you know, I guess that's what happens when anything new comes into the economy or into our culture.
Well,
right.
Now, as an attorney, are there any restrictions or compliance issues that you have to deal with in terms of using this new form?
Yeah, there are.
Can you point out what a couple of those are?
Sure. Essentially, they're the same as any other form of media or communication. So I'm restricted from saying that I'm an expert or I'm a specialist in labor and employment law. So I can't actually say that, although I can say it. And these are kind of obsolete sort of rules, too. So even the ethical commissions from all over the country, they're catching up on social media now themselves. I have to pretty much disclaim advice that anything I say on a social media site is not intended as legal advice and is just intended as some guidance or something, you know, something along those lines. So those are basically like the two major things that come into play on social media and practicing law.
So on the discussions in your own group and or the blogs you put out, which I'm sure on your website, do you have to put disclaimers on those things?
Yeah, there's some pretty detailed types of disclaimers, it's interesting because disclaimers, and I even read this in the Chicago Tribune like a month ago, the whole concept of disclaimers now is even itself becoming obsolete, because if you get emails, it seems like everybody has a disclaimer at the end of their email in fine print, yet how many people actually read those? And so, I get them all the time. I don't read them.
Is the legal profession under some of the same compliance issues in terms of advertising as, say, financial services agencies?
Similar, yeah.
Can only send out X number of them to the same number of people, or how many view it, like 25, and then it has to be registered, or are you familiar with it?
No, I think that what you're talking about is something that has to do with FINRA.
Right.
That's a different sort of animal. We don't have, as far as I know, we don't have the same obligations relative to law. But we have to follow the same laws like the Can't Spam Act and things like that. So, if I send, I used to do email blast myself, so I used to have to comply with that.
Right, yeah. Well, you had mentioned that you do some seminars and presentations, and we also noticed that you do some webinars. Can you tell us a little bit more about your webinars and your presentations?
Sure. I do presentations for the Illinois WorkNet, which is part of the Illinois Department of Employment Security. I've done a number for them. Also, the City of Chicago's Department of Business Affairs. I've been doing presentations for them usually twice a year for about the last 7 years. I just started doing some webinars with a partner of mine, so to speak, a guy by the name of Nimrod Grinvold out in New Jersey, who has his own human capital consulting organization company. And we just did our first one last week, in fact, our first video webinar. So that was really interesting, trying to figure out the technology on that and comparing the different vendors who do the video webinar type stuff.
Which one, which vendor did you settle on?
Yeah, we used Citrix. Is WebEx?
Sure, Yeah,
it was really very good, very elegant. Worked really well.
Oh, that's great.
Except for when my end of the video went off for some reason. It was just blackness, and we couldn't figure out why.
Technical difficulty.
Yeah.
You're on a lot of different boards, a lot of chairs, but you're on the member board of directors of ChildServe. That was founded in 1894?
Yeah.
Wow. What? Explain ChildServe and how it came to be that you got involved, if you don't mind.
Sure. ChildServe is a... It started with Methodist deaconesses in Lake Bluff, Illinois, back in the late 1800s, who started their own orphanage, and it kind of proliferated from that into a Chicagoland orphanage, child advocacy group homes, adoption services, that type of stuff, educational services too. I got involved in that because I was actually on the board with another ChildServe board member. We were both board members of a different board, and he brought me on the ChildServe board.
Wow. So has that been pretty rewarding?
Yeah, these are really rewarding, the board opportunities. I mean, it's rewarding personally. It's rewarding professionally. Helps to improve my exposure and that kind of stuff, too. So it's very interesting. We do, and we on these boards, we also engage in a lot of social media ourselves. We're doing these organizations I belong to, the not-for-profits, are doing the same type of thing that the for-profit businesses are trying to do now, figuring out social media and trying to engage the public in a broader sense.
Right, right. Well, we also noticed that you're the vice chair board of directors for Greater O'Hara Association.
Yeah.
That's one of Chicagoland's largest business associations.
Yep.
Tell us about how you got involved with GOA.
Yeah, I joined the GOA.
What's happening?
Yeah, I joined the GOA about 6-7 years ago, and I joined the board about 3 years ago. Became chair of the government affairs team for the last 2 years in a row, and also became a vice chair of the board a couple of years ago along with that. So I engage with a lot of politicians and legislatures, legislative people regarding various bills and laws that are being proposed in Illinois or that are going to affect our members. So you have things like taxation, Indiana's right to work type of thing that we just talked about a few minutes ago. I'm sure that's going to be a hot topic very soon in Illinois. So and those types of the HR related type issues that come up that affect our members. Very intense advocates on behalf of our business members.
Well, I'm sorry about that, technical difficulties. Now, you pointed out a few of the different topics that the governmental affairs teams work on, but what is the benefit to the members? I mean, in terms of working with some of the political people that you do.
Well, a few years ago, if you remember, when Blagojevich was still governor, he proposed that that I forgot what he called it, some sort of tax. It was going to be a pretty obnoxious retail tax, and we were very against that. And you know, we were very much involved in helping to spike that proposed legislation. Right now, we're working with a lot of different organizations in the Chicagoland area for healthcare co-op, or health insurance co-op and exchange, so smaller businesses can get better rates on healthcare. For healthcare insurance, that type of stuff, coverage for their employees, and that's going to be that's a pretty big topic because of the Obama healthcare plan that went into effect, a year and a half ago or so.
I had a little bit of technical difficulties, and so I got cut out of there. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah,
you're good.
Okay, great. You had mentioned just little bit ago that you thought that Illinois would be next in the whole right to work debate. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I don't know if we'll be next. I think the issue is going to come here. People are going to be talking about it. If you saw yesterday in the news, Caterpillar decided not to relocate a facility here in Illinois. They're talking about doing that, and they're going to look at other sites. And there was a publicly released letter from, I believe, the chairman or CEO of Caterpillar explaining to Governor Quinn why they didn't choose Illinois. And part of it is the economic environment, our pension liabilities, things like that. And the economic environment and pension liabilities directly relate to labor unions and the whole right-to-work concept of people joining unions or restricting unions, things like that. And I think that issue is going to be because of Indiana, and they compete with us very intensely for business. Like the Honda plant a few years ago, how they got the Honda facility, we have to start looking at that kind of stuff. I mean, we're in a pretty rough position here in Illinois, economically speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, our neighbor to the north, Wisconsin, has had a lot of issues along the employment line as well, and the unions and all of that. So
they seem to be moving sort of in the opposite direction, where the unions, they're very focused on Wisconsin. I guess because Wisconsin's always been very union-friendly, but I found it very interesting that the Indiana right-to-work statute was passed literally days before the Super Bowl, and there was no protests, or at least if there were any protests at the Super Bowl, it was very low-key, very quiet. So you would think that if the unions were really gung-ho, they would have been at the Super Bowl, which is like one of the biggest single-day events in the United States, if not the world.
Yeah, and did you actually write something about that, the lack of protesting, or you made a comment somewhere about that?
I think it's a signal that unions are really, especially in the private sector, unions are dying in the U.S. I figure by 2050 or so, unions should be pretty much out of the private sector. I think their only relevance really in the private sector is for safety, in industries that involve employee safety, so mining, extraction, long-haul transportation like trucking or distribution. I think in those industries are still pretty relevant, and they're still very relevant in the public sector, but that's only because I think the public sector has been very easy for them to organize.
Right, yeah, definitely.
Well, in addition to Caterpillar, just to follow up on that, there I don't know if it was certainly within the last 2 days, there was another manufacturer, someone I can't recall the name, that has just moved one of their plants to Indiana.
Really?
Right. And I don't know. I was going to ask you if you were familiar with it.
No.
It might have been today's news, but they were transferring this like 1,700 jobs.
I may have seen something like that, but I don't recall what company it is. Yeah, it's not surprising. Iowa's taking jobs away from us. Michigan, Ohio. Although Michigan is more pro-union than I believe than we are. But yeah, it's not surprising. Iowa and Indiana are both very, they both look at Illinois as being providers to them.
Wow.
You know, they look at us like that.
Sales funnel.
Yeah. You
know? Oh, that's great.
You're an active networker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what advice or what do you think the most difficult part of networking is?
Probably getting out of your shell, you know, kind of breaking through to people. You know, if you're, I wouldn't say I'm very shy or introverted, but you know, sometimes
so.
It's tough walking up to somebody at an event, and or if you're talking with somebody in a networking context, if they immediately try to sell you on something, you know, and your first instinct is like, oh, how do I extricate myself from this? Because I myself don't engage in direct selling. I mean, it's hard to sell my services directly to somebody, especially off the cuff. So why would I want to engage somebody, you know, vice versa, like on that level? And it's kind of a difficult thing.
Not transactional at all.
Yeah.
It's alliance.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to
build
relationships with people. I always look at it like I have a slow sales cycle anyway, so it's not unusual for me to close a client in 5 years or 4 years. So, you know, why would I expect if I met them right off the cuff that they'd want to purchase my services or use, you know, engage me?
Absolutely.
So what does the future hold for you?
Practicing labor and employment law on behalf of companies and the HR counseling, that type of stuff. I plan to be doing what I'm doing. I don't think people in my generation and younger are going to be retiring at younger ages in the future. So, you know, I could definitely see myself doing this until I'm like 70, 75 or until they kick me out of the courts or whatever.
Could be in another 12 years, it'll be Charles A. Krugel and Associates.
Yeah, it could be like that too, yeah. I'll need some people running around for me, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be great. Hey, how do people contact you?
Sure. My website, charlesakrugel.com. That's one way. My phone, 312-804-3851. Those are usually the best ways.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mike.
For coming on. And,
thanks.
Hey, we want to follow up with you again. This
great.
It'll be interesting as things progress here. We'd like to get updates on these every once in a while.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, Michelle, was that pretty interesting or what?
Absolutely. Love meeting all these new people all the time. It's great.
Well, the topics, you know, that he really brought up some interesting items, and not very often do we talk about different types of political situations, but, you know, 2012 is an election year, isn't it?
That's right. You know, and I what he said about Illinois being a supplier, that's not a good sign. Oh, dear.
I think people will be contacting him right away. Anyway, we got to get going. And we need to thank a few of our sponsors today before we get on to your gig, the Social Media Minute. First of all, we'd like to thank Heidi Feemster of Manditech. Manditech's your destination for enterprise resource planning and accounting systems needs. Also, Bruce Bettard of Bettard Mortgage Team. He's a sponsor of Brown Bag Schomburg, which is the third Wednesday of every month. And Bruce will return your call. A new sponsor, Hans Peter Beck of TBK Consulting, helping software companies go global. And Hans Peter is in Belgium. And that is tbkconsult.com. ZipBoss, which is www.zipboss.com. Create, market, succeed, where powerful websites are born. And a shameless plug to vote for myself, Mike Buller, and Michelle Rempel for Tech Week 2012. You can visit any of the Link local groups on LinkedIn for the link to go vote. And we encourage you to visit www.linklocalnetwork.com to view and check out our YouTube station, prior blog talk radio programs. Thanks, Michelle. What are you going to share with us today?
Well, I did want to, first of all, expand on your shameless plug for Tech Week. Yeah, we're hoping to be doing a panel discussion on social media for small businesses. And the way that Tech Week works, you know, it's a huge event here in the Chicago area. And because there were so many submissions of different seminars and workshops and so on, they decided, okay, we're going to have people vote them up or vote them down and let the people decide what type of seminars and workshops they want to see at Tech Week. So we were entered into this basically contest so that people can choose to have us be part of Tech Week. So we would love to be able to have this panel discussion and help small businesses with some of the knowledge that we've picked up along the way. And like you said, Mike, people can go and vote for our session. And I'm actually going to give you a link. It's a bit.ly link, and it's http://, of course, and it's bit.ly, bit.ly/, again, TechWeek12. So that's one way. And, of course, Mike, you said that, you know, people can also click on the link in the various linked local network LinkedIn groups. That's a mouthful, right? So it take you right to that link, and then all you have to do is click on the green arrow to allow us to present for small businesses at Tech Week 2012. So we're really excited about that. The other thing that I wanted to mention was one of our sponsors, ZipBoss. ZipBoss.com is an excellent service for small businesses. You know, you hear a lot about different website building providers. And ZipBoss has really filled a great niche for small businesses by providing an incredibly easy way to build a website. And beyond just a really cool way to build websites, they've also added features onto the websites that really increase community or user engagement with the websites. So, for instance, you can easily add a feature into these websites to do raffles, you know, kind of sweepstake type, contest type things. It's really easy to integrate a blog. It's easy to integrate the sharing buttons to go out to Facebook or Twitter and so on. So, and they have a very reasonable monthly fee for these extremely easy websites to build. So if you're a small business and you're looking for a way to build a new site, you know, improve the site you have, build a new site, and also increase user engagement and connect with all of your other social media accounts, try ZipBoss. It's ZipBoss.com. And contact them. They're really cool people. They're in California. They're based in California. And we have been really impressed with working with them. And we're looking forward to working with them and referring, you know, more small businesses to them. Because, of course, we're all about simplifying social media for small businesses. And that's something that ZipBoss does as well.
Right.
So, Mike, there's your social media couple of minutes. What's that?
Especially in the social media space. That's for
yep.
sure.
Absolutely.
So we need to give a quick shout out to a few of our other sponsors, and that would include Engaging Speakers. Speak your way to more business. You can find them at www.engagingspeakers.com. And the Soldier's Family TV and Radio Show, and it features live events with Steve Tomaszewski. If you haven't met him, you need to. Steve Tomaszewski. And he always has guests who help soldiers and their family. You can check them out at www.sftvr.com. Also, I Am for Kids. It's teaching children of all ages how to build an empowering identity for themselves and to challenge each child to live up to that standard every day. Next Monday, we're also starting another show. We're going international. Ivor Kellogg on Business, live from St. Albans, UK. It's going to be at 3 p.m. Central Time, and listen on the same channel for Ivor. He was a guest a few months ago. We had a great time with him. He's super knowledgeable. He's really involved in the digital area, and he's going to be putting on a great radio show. So listen in, Ivor Kellogg, next Monday at 3 p.m. Central. We're getting about out of time. So as usual, we want to welcome our audience to contact us to not only be in the program, but constantly looking for ways to improve. The way you find valuable and improving the content. It's all about content. So for a complete listing of events, dates, times, sign up for the events, previous radio shows. Looking at the YouTube station, we're posting at least a video a week. Check out www.linklocalnetwork.com. So this is Mike Bowler, Fred McMurray, Michelle Rempel for the Link Local Network Report, featuring area and national businesses. Thanks to everybody for listening in. We hope you can join me every Thursday at 4 o'clock for the next Link Local Network Report. We hope to see you at one of the events. Remember, link locally, connect globally.